Good morning. I'm Pastor Daryl. It's been a while since I was up here, but I appreciate all of your prayers for my recent illness and that you continue to pray for me. Music is often something that mirrors our emotions. It stimulates our memory. We remember the songs of our youth. I grew up at a time when the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel were there. Perhaps you grew up with Bruce Springsteen, or, as my grandkids say, Taylor Swift. But whatever it is, that it makes a certain impression on us. The songs of our youth, the songs from when we're junior and senior high, or middle school and senior high, tend to have an emotional impact with us. They tend to be ones that we can continue to sing regardless of how old or how young we might be. Somehow our later life gets busy and we have kids and we have obligations and whatnot. But in our youth, we have the time to listen. We have the time to think. And we have the time to respond. So music shows up in many of our aspects of our lives. Doctors tell us that it actively stimulates almost every region of the brain. It releases dopamine to boost our mood, reducing stress by lowering cholesterol. It fosters community through shared rhythms and through cultural identity. So this morning I'd like to look at just three aspects of music. There are probably a lot more, but I'd like to look at the cultural preservation, or our heritage, our emotional connection, and our communication as a universal language. The Psalms are our cultural preservation. The Psalms were a hymn book, much as we have hymn books in our pews this morning. The Hebrew people used the Psalms as their hymn book. Those hymns had praise, they had intercession, they had laments, they had thanksgivings, they had wisdom, they had remembrance, and they had trust. It covered the whole panoply of human emotions that was there. And so, will you join me in prayer before we read our scripture this morning? God, we give you thanks for all that you have given to us. We ask you now that you would help us to turn our hearts and our minds to your word, that we might listen, and having listened, that we might put it into practice. And we ask you now that you will help the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Hear then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with a crash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here, the psalmist is calling on all of us to praise God, to praise him regardless of where we might be. It's a festival liturgy. It often was something that was sung as the people ascended the mount up to the temple, to both the holy place, the holy temple, but also to praise God in the heavens above. The idea is to praise God's mighty deeds, the creation, the deliverance, and the preservation of all humanity. It's recalling God's mighty acts and his surpassing greatness. So what's going on here? They are singing with enthusiasm and with orchestra with orchestra as accompanying them. There's a grand roll call of all the different instruments. If you take a look at this, there's the sounding of trumpets, there's the harp and the lyre, There's the tambourine, there's strings, there's flutes, and there's cymbals. All of those are things that were present in the people of the Hebrew people as they celebrated God. It was present there. We know that from archaeology that these, in fact, were things that they used on almost every Sunday or every worship day. Everything that breathes, praise the Lord. The idea is that not just us, not just humans, but everything that breathes should praise the Lord, regardless of what might be going on. So the Hebrew people used the Psalms as a way to remember the things of their heritage. And that's the first part. The second part is that hymns can give us an emotional connection. Often they are written out of a time of remembrance, a time of prolonged tragedy or illness or grief. For those of us who are Christians, it is our heritage of the various hymns. Perhaps you remember "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It was written by Martin Luther during a time that for him was very stressful because he was being condemned by the Roman Catholic Church. It was a time of struggle between the Reformation and the Roman Catholic Church. And he wrote it to remind people, to remind himself, that it is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," not something else, not castles, not armies, but rather "A Mighty Fortress Is God." And then there was Fanny Crosby, who was blinded when she was a young child because her mother put some kind of patent medicine in her eyes. And yet she wrote, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." And it goes on to talk about how a light breaks on her image. And yet she couldn't see that light, but she wrote about it anyway. The old rugged cross was something that perhaps you remember, but the person who wrote it wasn't thinking about so much as the tragedy of the Roman execution of his God. "It Is Well With My Soul" is written by a man named Spafford shortly after four of his daughters were lost in a drowning accident. Perhaps you've heard of the story of "Amazing Grace," where John Newton was a former slave trader, and there was a storm, and he came through it, and he realized in those moments of coming through the storm that he knew that it was "Amazing Grace" that saved him, not himself. "Just As I Am Without One Plea" was something that Billy Graham used to use on a frequent basis, trying to remind people that humans are not worthy. "It Is Without One Plea" that he wanted to reinstate the idea in our minds that we come to Jesus not because we are special, not because we have earned it, but we come without one plea. Many of these you probably can sing by heart. I know I can, at least some of them, at least the first verse. Perhaps some of you can sing more than the first verse, but regardless, they are something that reflects our joy, our tragedy, our grief, all the things that can be expressed in a hymn. These are the things that emotionally connect us to God. And then there are songs that come through a universal language, communicating our Christian faith. It's a universalism that crosses borders, languages, sectarian divisions. In praising God, the meaning of creation is fulfilled because everything, whether it is the smallest flower or the most magnificent sunset, everything is praising God in a universal language that sometimes doesn't take actual words, but it bears witness to God's mighty deeds, and it comforts in hard times It gives us joy in good times. Did you know that our Peace USA hymnal that you have in front of you is also available in Spanish and Korean? So that we, even as a denomination, recognize the universalism of languages. Amazing Grace and Silent Night have been translated into over 140 languages. So wherever you are in the world, you might be able to hear Amazing Grace. How Great Is Our God is a song by Chris Tomlinson, and it's been translated into 23 languages for 10,000 Reasons has been translated into Spanish, German, Mandarin, Hebrew, Arabic, and Japanese. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know has also been translated into French, German, Hindi, Greek, Mandarin, Russian, Spanish, Thai. It is the words of the most hopeful that we can be. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Perhaps you have had a chance to listen or attend a church in another language. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so, even if it's to turn on the radio and listen on a Sunday morning. It is a way of communicating the universalism of our faith, regardless of where we might be or who it is we might be listening to. God is still there proclaiming the Christian faith. Paul tells us that in the passage that Ed read, that we need to, instead, we should be filled with the Spirit. We should not get drunk, or we should not pretend to be unwise, but we should speak to one another with psalms, with spiritual songs, and with hymns. We should sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you in the coming week to put a song in your heart, whether it is a song that we're singing here this morning, or it is a song that you've heard perhaps in your childhood, perhaps in your old age, wherever it is, put a song in your heart every day of this coming week that you might reflect the things that God has done for you. And talking about the things that God has done for you, do you realize how much time our music department gives? Do you realize that our choir, our bell choir, our praise team, they all come at different times throughout the week to practice? We only hear the results, but they come and they practice. And if they're not quite right, Ed corrects them and they get it right. And they spend so much time preparing to worship God, preparing to lead us in worship. And so I would ask you to stand and join with me in giving a big thank you to our music department. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for all that you have done for us. We give you thanks for those musicians who continue to lead us in worship. We ask that you will bless them for their service, and that you will help us to walk in their ways that you set before us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.